You know, the truth is the joy of what church should be, and really the joy of what our lives should be relationships. It really should be. But it's also the thing that, as we're going to focus on today, can really bring the most fear in our lives. And really can be something that God wants to restore the joy of what relationships are supposed to be to him and to one another. And we're going to look at that as we look at the very first fear that's found in this passage. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 22, and we're going to start at verse, 54. It's a story of Peter and a moment of fear in relationship that he has. So Luke 22:54. Then they seized Jesus and led him away and bring him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance, and when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man also was with him, Jesus." But Peter denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after an interval of about an hour, another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man also is with him, for he too is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter, because he was nearby. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord and how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Lord, we ask that you would show us how to rise up with courage in the midst of our relationships today so that we can know the sweet victory you have to offer. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, I've got a confession, and this is not going to startle too many of you. The confession is I am getting older, and I do need these an awful lot now, okay? And something's interesting happening as I'm getting older and need these a little bit more. It literally happened yesterday. I finished my devotions, and I'll start getting up and walking around with these things. Whoa, wait a minute. I can't. That's a little blurry. And the interesting dynamic is this. I'm starting to get used to having these on after I read. Like, I'm starting to get up and things are blurry and I'm not really seeing right, but I'm getting used to it and it's actually becoming normal to me a little bit. And I'm starting to adjust to see how things are distorted with, even though something's helping me see in a way I shouldn't be seeing. And last week, you and I heard that Jesus wants us to rise up from fear. And see, what happens is when fear starts getting in our lives, it causes us to be down. And when we start getting up to try to do other things in our life, fear stays on our eyes in such a way that it starts blurring what's right and wrong. And it's not good, but we're getting used to it. We're getting used to seeing life through a distortion that really we should not be viewing anything through. Because fear has a way of making what is not healthy and not right normal in our lives. And if you've ever saw somebody, you think, how in the world? I mean, they've known Jesus. They know church. How are they living like that? What are they doing like that? I can't believe they're like this. What you and I don't see is there's become a process usually where fear has entered somebody. And because of the fear, they've started to see things differently. And though on the outside, you and I would say to them, "That doesn't look right at all." To them, they would say, "No, it kind of does to me, because I've gotten used to seeing things through fear." And this week, we're looking at one of the most subtle and most controlling fears that this world tries to place on us, and it's this idea of fear in relationships. And I want to share with you, I want to submit to you that you are used to viewing your relationships through fear in a way that you should not. That it's not right how you're looking at the relationship, but you're so used to some of the past pain and some of the past wounds in life that you're looking through glasses of fear, and it's blurring what's right and wrong in the relationship, and it's distorting it some, and it's not really what it should be, but to you, it's beginning to feel normal to have relationship that way. And what God wants to do is he wants to take these glasses off and he wants to restore our sight. A lot of what happened during worship when we really started to enter in presence and we weren't singing anymore because we were supposed to. We were singing because we all of a sudden were starting to encounter God. He wants to change our eyesight that in that way and get us back to the point of what real relationship is supposed to be about. Because what we don't realize is that when we look through fear, fear is stealing what relationship is really supposed to be in our life. And it's actually normalizing things that are hurting us in relationship. And it's actually erasing the hope that life can be different. Because we're starting to get so used to, I guess this is the way relationships are. I guess this is the way I'm going to be in them. That we're starting to say those words that are not in the Bible. And that's, I guess this is just the way it is. And that is not what the resurrection of Jesus Christ is all about. It's not just the way it is. It's the way God wants it to be. But there's this place where you and I have to rise up. And last week we heard about this verse, 2 Timothy 1:7. Why don't you read it out loud with me? For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I did it in first service. I didn't do it in second. I'm encouraging you, set an alarm on your phone for 2:17 p.m. and make it a daily alarm. And just let it be a reminder in the middle of you getting through your day to stop and remember and take a moment to look at how am I looking through life in fear? Or am I remembering to fear not in what I'm doing? And I'll tell you what, I'm the one who came up with this idea. And I'll tell you what, every day at 2:17, it's totally surprised me. I've been in a meeting. I've been in some place. I'm like, what is my phone? Oh yeah, 2:17, right? And it has been a powerful experience for me personally. Because in that moment, I'll remember this verse. And then I'll start going, God, is there anything as I've picked up worry and anxiety and disappointment in the middle of my day? Am I starting to think more and more like a person who's fearing things? And I tell you what, I have caught myself time and time again this week where it really has been a Holy Spirit-empowered moment. It's like, oh yeah, I'm not supposed to think in fear right now. So I want to encourage you, if you have not begun that practice, set an alarm 2:17 p.m. and let it go off wherever you are. I'll tell you what, it is a good experience. As we do this, all right, the scripture in 1 Corinthians 16:13 through 14. We're going to go back to the scripture. It's in your notes a little down of the page. Why don't you read this one out loud with me, including the brackets. Read it out loud with me. Be on guard against fear and sin. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong and do everything in love. You've got to live a life of courage. And we're going to look at how when our relationships are in a defeated place and we've given up being courageous about them, in other words, given up being about walking where God wants us to walk with them, when we give up in that, life really begins to fall apart in us. We begin to live a defeated, discouraged life. We grapple with a lot of depression in our life. So I'm going to ask you three questions to begin, and hopefully they're okay, but they have to do with this. I'm going to give you a question, and I'm going to give you a life answer. You answer the question personally. I want you to think about the life answer. Here we go. Here's a courageous question you should ask about your relationships. What one change in one relationship would increase God's victory and peace in my life? If there's just one change I would make in one relationship, and I'm not... And it would be my change in that relationship. What one change in one relationship would begin to radically change most of my life? Because that place is a place where I'm living in defeat. So I want you to think about that. I want you to think about a person. I want you to think about your responsibility in that. Now, here's why this is an important question. Here's an answer, okay? Who you are with and how you are with them determines your future. Someone should say amen to that, because that is true. Who you are with
and how you are with them determines your future. You ever hear the saying, show me your friends, I'll show you your future? All right? Look, God made us to be relational. Our relationships are about God's grace in our life. Pastor Brandon prayed about grace and truth in the middle of service today. The elders prayed about that in the morning separately. Grace and truth. And a big way we have grace, a big way God helps us and lifts us up is through our relationships. But we can live them the wrong way. And this is not a time of being overly hard on self, but it's a time to kind of hear, a time for courage, that there's some ways we got to change how we're with the people around us. We'll unpack that in a little bit. All right, question number two. Can you help me get to the next slide, Russ? Thanks. All right, this is a courageous question you got to ask. All right, which important relationship or group in my life am I failing to make Jesus the center of? Very important question. Obviously, we're going to get to the story of Peter here because that's what happens in this moment. Look, there is in our lives, Jesus is supposed to be the center of our everyday life. He's the resurrection. He's the life. He's the only one who doesn't fail. He's the only one who's always faithful. He's the one who's always loving. So we always want him at the center. But if we're saying, I want Jesus in the center of my life, but then the most important relationships in my life don't have Jesus in the center of them, that's a disconnect. That's a disconnect. And when we go to relationships, we're going to get pulled one way. And when we go to church, we're going to get it pulled another. Now, as I'm going to unpack later, I'm not telling you to leave those people high and dry. But there is something you've got to do in those relationships that's very important. And again, I'm saying this because of the joy and the hope of what God has for you and your life. There are, really are greater days ahead. So here is an answer in life that is very true. You can't have the victory of Jesus without putting Jesus in the center of your closest relationships. All right? Jesus can't be in the center, and he's the one who's victory. He's the resurrection. He will overcome everything. So if you've got him in your life, you are going to overcome everything. You can't do that, but then your closest relationships, not have him in the center. Now, that doesn't mean the other person in that relationship necessarily has Jesus figured out the right way, but you've got to have Jesus figured out in the way you're relating to that person. So far, so good? Everybody with me? Look like you're tracking. All right, question number three. I didn't want to write this so long in your notes, so you can just leave it the way it is. But are you finally ready to change to Jesus-centered relationships so you can live for victory instead of mediocrity? All right? Turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready? Are you ready? Yeah, okay. All right. Some of you are like staring down the person at you. Are you? This is it. Come on. All right, here we go. So I want you to think about this. Being open is not the same thing as being ready. I tell you what I run into a lot as a pastor of a lot of people who are really terrific and I love and I admire a lot, and they're open to God, but they're not courageous for God. And being open to God is nice and it's a good beginning, but you've got to go from being open to God to being courageous for God. Because the reality of the victories you want in life only come with courage. It's called faith, all right? And without faith, it's impossible to please God, all right? So I tend to have a lot of people, I'm real active in the community, I've got a lot of different people, and they're like, oh, you're a pastor, it's so cool. I'm kind of, I pray a little bit here, I'm a little open there. I'm really, I think Jesus here is right. I'm kind of thinking about this. I tell you what, 5 years later, I'm still thinking, and I'm still kind of open. And I'm still kind of like, but I'm not sure. Or they've been open for a while, and some bad things have happened, and now they're like a little done with Jesus because they were open and nothing better happened. It's like open is not the same as courageous. All right. So let me have a little pastor dad moment with you. You can blame everybody else around you want while you're open to God, but the real issue is you need to take a step of courage towards where God wants you to be. Because you don't get into the promised land without being strong and courageous. And you can hear about the promises of God all you want, but you ain't crossing over till you pick up some courage in your life. Amen? Amen. Drop the mic? Yeah, okay, a little bit. All right, there we go. So, let's remember what Jesus said, Luke 9:23-24. Jesus said, if any of you wants to be my follower, not be open to me, but really follow me, You're going to have to give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on your life while you're being open to me, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, then you will find it. There are two gates you can walk through in life. Jesus talked about them. There's a gate of compromise, and there's a gate of courage. All right? Wide is the road, and big is the gate of compromise. And lots of people like going through it while they're open to God. But small, and not that easy to fit through, and not many other people around there, is this gate called courage. This gate called courage that you and I have to walk through. And most of us think of courage, and we think, one day I'm going to go to Africa and serve, or I'm going to go do this big thing. But courage begins in our relationships. That's where we get courageous. So that's what we're going to look at. We want to rise up and make sure that we address, that should be face fear, not fear. Rise up and face the fear in our relationships. Okay? Rise up and face the fear in our relationships. Rise up and face the fear in our relationships. So, if you look at, basically, it's really the last 36 hours of Jesus' life, from the Last Supper through the cross, and to then the next 3 days to the resurrection. In those 36 hours, Jesus faces, and the disciples, one of the predominant dynamics of the whole story, no matter what story is the fear of the crowd, the fear in relationships. Pilate fears the crowd, and so he hands Jesus over. Peter fears the crowd, and he denies Jesus. There's a bunch of people, disciples talk about who's the greatest in the crowd because crowds generate fear and insecurity. And so what you do in a crowd is you compare yourself all of the time. It's the crowd who one time was saying, Hosanna, we welcome you, you're awesome. Now they're saying, give us Barabbas and crucify him. It's the crowd that ends up saying, crucify him and jeering him and mocking him. And it's interesting because for Jesus, when he's got to face his moments of greatest courage and facing the pressure of his greatest fears, Jesus steps away from the crowd in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And by the way, did you notice that when the greatest victory in all the universe happens, where's the crowd? No place. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is witnessed by one person who then tells a few other people who then discover the risen Christ. Did you, if you look at the stories, and hopefully next week for Holy Week, next Sunday starting on, hopefully we're going to give you a devotional to walk through Luke 22 through 24. Hopefully, I've got to make the time to do it. You'll notice that all the dynamics are, it's the crowd and fear, and what am I going to say in front of this person? What am I going to do in front of that person? This person's threatened me, and this person has the power to do this to me. It's all about, it's all the crowd, and it's all the middle of all these relationships. And then when resurrection comes, there's no crowd whatsoever. Because a crowd can crucify you, they can even celebrate you for a little bit, but they can't resurrect you. Crowds don't resurrect. And yet, what do you and I think? You and I think our biggest moment of resurrection, our biggest moment of victory, is when we hear, and the award goes to, and we walk up in front of the crowd, and now the crowd finally knows who we are. And the crowd finally affirms us and tells us what we should be and recognizes how great we've always been. We've just been waiting them to. Like, we've got this picture that the moment of resurrection in our life is when the crowd finally recognizes us, and yet the resurrection has nothing to do with the crowd. It has to do with this relationship and the little crowds and what we do with them all over the place. And so this story begins in Luke 22. It begins that the Pharisees, the chief priests, and the scribes, they want to kill Jesus, but they're afraid of the crowd. It's dominating everybody's decisions about what they're. We're afraid of people. We're afraid in relationship how people are going to respond. We're afraid the power they have over us and what they will do if we don't do what's right. Look at it. It's amazing. It's throughout the entire story of Jesus going to the cross. And then we come to the story of Peter. That is kind of probably the greatest symbol of what you and I have to deal with in the midst of relationships. Because you and I, we've got some relationships in our life. And there's some things we should change. And there's some ways we could change how we are with them. And there's some forgiveness and new beginnings. And there's some prayers. And there's dealing with bitterness. And there's dealing with hardness. And there's dealing with our own mess ups in them. But we're afraid. There's some of us we've got to address. And we're tolerating. And we're settling for things that we should not be settling for in relationship. But we're afraid we're going to do what? Lose them. We're afraid the power they're going to hold over our lives. And so we're looking through and we're having that relationship through these glasses, and everything's a little blurry and I'm getting a little headache doing it this way, but it's the only way I know how to have relationship. It's the only way I know how to see the relationship. And Peter, as he goes through this time of trying to follow Jesus, has to deal with the pressure of relationships that are not centered on Jesus. So we already read the scripture, so let me give you this idea. The crowd represents any relationship you have that is not together because of or for Jesus. So Jesus is not the center of it, at least for you, okay? Because, I mean, I've got lots of people, whether it's serving on social services board or YMCA or doing soccer, like their lives aren't centered in Jesus. But my life is centered in Jesus being with him, okay? And he's the center of it for me. And if all those relationships want something different, if that's what Jesus wants, then that crowd isn't more important to me than Jesus. But what you and I tend to do is we tend to build relationships and we tend to be in these really, it calls a community, but really, unless it's in Jesus, it's not a community, it's just a crowd. All right, it's just a group of people who are centered. We're all getting together because we want something. So whether it's a political party, whether it's a sports team, whether it's my work environment, whether it's a relationship, a dating relationship based on attraction or need, all right? If that relationship is centered in something other than Jesus for me, that's just a crowd. That's all that is a crowd. And what happens is in the Bible, crowds never are faithful to Jesus. A matter of fact, a crowd will use Jesus, but a crowd will never love Jesus. All right? Look at John 2, 23 through 25. Many people saw the miraculous signs Jesus was doing and believed in his name, but Jesus would not entrust himself to the crowd. For he knew all men, and he did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in man. He knew that man is always creating idols. Whatever works today is what the crowd will follow. In the Old Testament, it's a crowd waiting for Moses to come down that creates the golden calf, right? Because that's what crowds do. Crowds find something to all connect to and say, this is what we're about. And they call it community, but only community is based on Jesus. When Jesus is the center, that can be a community. That could be something that has real life to it. And so what you and I need to be about is looking at the crowds in our life. And some of our crowds are very, very good friends of ours. Some of the crowd are family members. And we're going to love them. We'll see how we can love them. But we've got to make sure that we are not in the place where like, well, I've been really with you for a long time, and I don't like this, and this is really actually bad for me, but I don't want to give this up, so we'll just pretend this isn't happening. And then what that's called defeat. That's called this area. And once you give up in one area, wait for the next shoe to drop in another area of your life, because you're about to give up someplace else too. So what we want to do is we want to find the courage that Jesus has. If you want new victory in your life, if you're like, man, I know God's got something for me. I can't seem to find it. You and I tend to look at our circumstances to change. We need to look at how we are living out our relationships, okay? If you want new victory in your life, you have to get your heart and your trust away from the crowd. You've got to get away. Doesn't mean that in Jesus you can't love that crowd, but you've got to get. What does Jesus do? He gets away from the crowd to pray, because he's got a face of fear. He knows the pain and the torture that's in front of him, and it's not the crowd that can give him the strength. He's got to get away and make sure what he and the Father are doing is most important in his life. It's the thing that's filling him, giving his identity, his worth, his strength. If you want new victory in life, you have to get your heart and your trust away from the crowd. Proverbs 29:25, very important verse. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Really important verse for life right there. Yeah, but if I don't do that, they could job here, network here, money here, community crowd here. If I do, then they whoa. Fear of man will prove to be a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. We trust in the Lord first and foremost. Galatians 1:10. Am I now trying to win approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? For if I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. We've got to learn to put Christ first. And so I just want to look at how we're going to break that. We have to follow Christ and choose courage to put Jesus first and center in our relationships, regardless of what the crowd thinks. Regardless of what the crowd thinks. We've got to choose, we've got to figure out what does it look like to put Jesus first. Because if we'll put him in his right place, our relationships will get put in the right place. All right, so here we go. Breaking fear in relationships. It's not going to be very long. We're going to really look at the story of Peter. Just to do it, we're just really going to wrap up here. But I want you to think about this now. So important. Every person in this room, every young person, every senior, I'm telling you, this is so important. Every single dating relationships, big important time for you to make sure you're following this. Okay, how do we break fear in relationships? Number one, we've got to refocus our worship. In other words, we got to get back into mind what's true and what's right. We got to remember our purpose. We were created by God and for God. He is the one. I loved how worship was going during when we got to Worthy as the Lamb. And man, we just started getting what was really going on in God's presence. And I think I was, and Russ, you can help me with this, just so you know, I'm not going to do the video song at the end. I think I'm going to have John come up and lead us in worship here at the end, okay? Because we need to renew our worship. Until God is great in our lives, how we handle relationships isn't going to work well. A lot of us, some of us are like, wow, Pastor Sean, this is a good word. God is definitely speaking to me. That relationship is really causing pain. I've had it with that relationship. That's right, Pastor Sean. I'm just going to dump that relationship. No. That's not breaking fear. That's running away from fear. That's all that is. You're not breaking fear. You're just running from it. No, there's something deeper to do than just say, I reject you. Okay? But you're not going to be able to do it unless God is giving you something more. All right? So we've got to start with refocusing our worship. We got to get back to him being our first love. So how do we do that? Number two, we reestablish our priorities. Pray first. Bible project every day. Let's read. We're in Ruth right now. I tell you what, did you read the story? Probably not yet. You probably didn't read the story of Ruth yet, okay? There's been a friend of mine who's gone through the loss of two children, gone through a divorce, gone through, just like life has been one bad thing after the other. And my friend is just like, I give up. And I watched the video for Bible Project this morning about Ruth. I was like, it's your life is right here. Like, there's total hope for you. Here it is. Like, it's not over. The Bible has your story right in it. Look, we've got to get back to our priorities, okay? We've got to get back to praying first. We got to get back to worship. We've got to get back to this word. We have to get back. If you haven't done the Bible Project, today is Psalm 77. We read some of it. Just do a psalm a day if you can't do anything else. We're on 77 today. You can pick up the pamphlet in the back. You've got to get into his word, okay? And then you've got to just, it's worship. Because what's going to happen is this. The next thing you've got to do is you've got to set boundaries. You got to set boundaries in relationships that aren't centered on Christ. Doesn't mean you can't have them. You just got to have the right boundaries for them. But the answer to boundaries isn't no, 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 no. That's not boundaries. All right? Boundaries are this. First, second, third, Yes. I've done this with the Lord. I'm filled up here. My wounds are dealt with here. I can spend time with you now. Okay? I can spend this much time with you because after that, I still have to do this part of the prayer. That's a boundary. Rejection is no, 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 no. All right? That's just rejection. A boundary is here's first, here's second, here's third. These are the things I do. Jesus is center and first in my life. Now that I've done that, he gives me a sense of how to be with you. All right? And then you're going to have to act with courage. Because did you notice in the story, the crowd tends not to stop pushing you. Anybody notice that? The crowd doesn't stop. The relationship that wants more from you, that isn't centered in Jesus, is coming back to ask you again to give you, they want more from you, and you're going to have to take it from Jesus to give it to them. All right? You have to take it, instead of Jesus, it's going to have to be them. They're going to want more, and they're not going to stop asking for it, because that's what crowds do. Because people are meant to need an eternal input source, and when it's not God, it's going to be you. And I'm going to ask you to not stop giving and be more, and you know, show me more, and answer my needs more, because I need it, and you're the closest thing I got. So if I'm going to have the boundaries, I'm going to have some courage. Because they're going to tend to come back to me and say, you don't love me anymore. You're not treating me right. What happened? We used to be so close. All that stuff. And what you've got to do is say, no, this is taking care of you. This is watching out. This is really doing God's best for your life. And then we're going to have to, at the end, here's the beautiful thing. When you do this right, you can stay in relationship. Now, let me just put a caveat. There's some relationships that are so destructive and so unhealthy, you've got to really seek counsel whether you can have any relationship with that person, all right? So that's just, I don't know who you are out there, but if you're really in a hurtful, obviously abusive relationship, or there's a really long history, you need to have someone process with you what it looks like to even have any contact with that person, okay? So I just got to put that in there. But for most of our relationships, what we could do then is because now we have the boundaries and we have the strength, and we're living in courage with them, you know what we can do? We can show them compassion. We can be thoughtful. We can actually do things they weren't expecting because now there's no fear and there's no manipulation in that relationship. I was talking with a friend just the other day and in our neighborhood, and great people, and called me up, said, hey, would you mind coming over? We've been talking, and I've been praying for him here or there. Told me a story of a parent they have that's been a lifelong, painful story. No clue. Would never had a clue. And they had rebuilt relationship with their parent, and it was going well. And the parent basically fell into addiction again is what happened. And just crushed their child. And I said this, I said, hey, with that person who's so hurting and so, you know, bound by things, I said, why had the last few years of your relationship worked so well? Because now she was just so upset that it wasn't working well again. Why was it work? Well, you know, we kind of came out. I said, so let me ask you a question. Have you ever not been the leader in that relationship? Well, no. Said, so this last time you were together, who was the leader the last time you were together? She was. Oh, so that's why it went wrong. Yeah. It's like, look, you're going to have to still be the leader in that relationship. You're just going to have to choose. I know it's not right. I know it should be different. But God's given you grace to be the leader in that relationship. Don't break off the relationship according to correct counseling. Just be the leader in it. Just choose to lead what that you. Don't let fear dictate how you're going to have relationship. Let Jesus Christ help you be a leader, and you dictate what that relationship should look like. Not controlling, not manipulative, because you want to serve. So look, in each of our lives, we've got these places. Now, let's just finish up with the story of Peter. Peter's in a dark place, and Peter's cold. So there's a group of people who have some light for him, and some way to warm them up. And it's probably not the group of people he would choose to be around, but it's the group that has some light for him in his darkness and some warmth in the middle of a cold world. So he decides, I'm going to hang around that fire, right? But that group's not centered on Jesus. Matter of fact, most of the people are there because they're looking to see what happens to Jesus. But for right now, there's light and warmth here. And so Peter decides, I'm going to be with this group. But what does a group do? A group always pushes wanting more from you. A relationship pushes more for you. And Peter has a moment to choose whether he's going to live in courage or live in compromise with that group. All right? And I want you to get what happens. All right? Right after this story of Peter, we have Jesus talking to the Sanhedrin. And they're pushing him too. They're pushing him. They're threatening him. And Jesus stays true to what his Father wants, to who he really is, and what his life is really about. And because of that, they crucify Jesus. So I want you to get this picture. In the very short term, in that 1 hour when all this happened, Peter's choice seems to work, although he's immediately gripped with bitterness and pain. Jesus' choice seems to be an absolute failure. But 3 days later, whose decision was the right one? Whose decision was the right one? Because what Peter did was he chose to win with the crowd in a moment instead of wait for the true victory that the crowd could never give him. Peter chose to say, I'm going to win with this crowd right now because I'm fearful of the power they would have over me and what they could do for me and how they could make me feel and what they could take away from me. I'm going to choose to compromise in this moment and just do what the crowd wants because right now that's the win I need. When Jesus, facing the same pressure, says, no, even if it takes me to the cross, there's a resurrection and there's a victory this crowd cannot give me and will never give me. And look, you and I have the same choice in front of us. So here's what I'd like to invite you to do today, because here was that question again. Are you ready? Man, are you ready for it to be different? And I'm not trying to muster up your own determination. Yeah, Pastor, I'm going to do this, and I'm not going to be a doormat, and I'm going to finally. No. Are you ready to say, Jesus, I want to follow you? This is not about me proving to the crowd. This is about me saying to Jesus in the middle of the crowd, I'm still going to follow you. It's still about you. I'm going to renew my worship. I'm going to renew my priorities. And after those two things, I'm going to set the right boundaries. And then I'm going to expect and not be surprised and not be upset when that relationship pushes back. No, I'm just going to have courage. I'm going to still choose. I'm going to ask the Lord to show me how to do this right. And you'll have your time to show compassion one day. You will have that time. So you have a connection card in your hand, okay? Or somewhere around you. You have a connection card. Here's what I like to do. I asked one of our members for a fire pit because Pastor Sean had the idea of making a fire in the middle of church. Which Ellery would have completed our fire drill right afterwards. We could have gone straight to the fire drill. I'm sorry, I missed our chance. All right, I got this super heavy-duty old-school fire pit with no floor in it. So it wasn't exactly what I was expecting, but praise the Lord for it. So here's what I'd like us to do. I'm going to ask John if he would lead us in worship. And I would like you to think about those questions I've asked you today. What's the one change that needs to happen? I would encourage you, did you notice that almost all of this conversation is about what you're going to do, not what the other person's going to do in the relationship that's not centered on Jesus? Right, this is about you. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to trust God to do. I'm going to choose to be courageous in my own heart, even though I'm hurt, even though I'm the one with need, either one, I'm really tired, and I'm the one who's already tried. Yeah, I know. Jesus is a never-ending, refreshing stream that can just... He can give you more, right? And it just struck me. We're going to worship, and what I'd like you to do, underneath either the praise or the prayer section of your card. And note there's a place to say whether it's private or something you want on the prayer sheets. What I'm going to ask you to do is this. I'm going to ask you to pretend with me that we've got a fire here today. That there's another fire pit. There's another place to warm ourselves. There's another place where we've got to choose compromise and courage. And what I'd like you to do in the middle of worship, I'd like you to take your time in worship, okay? Matter of fact, we start worship, you can stay seated, all right? Whenever you want to rise up, you could just maybe stand up and worship for a little bit. But at some point, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to take that connection card and I would like you to write on it a decision you're making about a relationship. Maybe it's about refocus. Maybe it's about a new priority. Like, Lord, I gotta get serious about you because, you know, I gotta start doing this. Maybe it's a decision about, maybe it's just the name of a person, like, Lord, this is the relationship that you've gotta show me how to do this one right. You gotta show me the right boundaries. How to do this one right, God. I don't know what it is. You have to figure out the Lord. But what I'd like to do is as we worship today, at some point, I'd like you to fold up that thing and find your way up to the fire and just have a moment that says, Lord, around what would warm my life and give me light and the pressures I face, I want to choose you. I want to choose you in that relationship. And this is just an act of saying, I choose you, God. And whether you're up here or you take a moment and you say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for being good. Thank you for the victory. Amen. Or just like, Lord, you know how hard this is for me today. I just want to write this relationship off totally. But Lord, show me. Whatever what it looks like, just take that moment, get to the fire, put it down, and then just go back for a moment of worship. And that's how we're going to finish up today, okay? So, Lord, Father, courage begins in relationship. Victory begins there. Lord, some of us are like Peter, and it just seems like there's no way this one moment will ever change if I do it any other way but make a choice of fear. But I ask in the name of Jesus that you, the all-consuming fire, you the resurrection in life, you the one who's faithful, Lord, help us to follow you. Holy Spirit, would you make sense of just how this word applies to each person's life? And we just give now a time of worship to you. Lord, lead us to rise up. Lead us to choose courage. I claim in the name of Jesus now new victory in relationships for your glory and honor.